I am going to a city where the streets with gold are laid, where the tree of life is blooming. Down here they bloom but for a season, and soon their beauty is decayed. Oh, but I am going to a city the roses never fade. Love once gone to be with Jesus in the robes of white rain. Now they're waiting for my coming. There the roses never fade. Down here they bloom but for a season, and soon their beauty is decayed. Oh, but I am going to a city where the roses never fade.
Hallelujah. How many going there, huh? Heaven is more real and nearer to us now, is it not? I was 18 years old, snotty-nosed punk of a kid, saved out of drugs and all. Got into church and them old saints of God would talk about heaven and cry. Even the men cried. Tears come down. That's the first time I ever seen a man cry. I was in church. And talk about heaven. And I'm becoming like that myself, just talking about heaven. Thinking about the goodness of God. Can you say amen? And a place that we're going. Amen. There's a man that digs graves our way, and he's kind of town drunk almost. He drinks a lot and has that reputation. And he digs graves and stuff in the graveyard. And every time one of our loved ones has passed, he'd say to me, "Can I stick around and just be around you all?" Because we stood around the grave and just sang, you know, "Sweet By and By," and worship the Lord and thank God. He says, "You know, there's a lot of families that just, they don't act the way you all act." He said, "Why do you act the way you act?" He told me. And I said, "Because we believe in a resurrection." Amen. And our loved ones, we're going to see them again. Amen. And he says, "Well, I don't know," but he says, you all act really, he said, "I like being around y'all, even in a graveyard." Isn't that a testimony? If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 22. And I want to read one portion of scripture here, just two verses out of chapter 22 of Isaiah. Reading at verse, amen, 23 and 24. And it's a prophecy that's given to a man of God, amen, by the prophet Isaiah. And I want to just use a few parts of this verse. It says, verse 23, "I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issues, all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups even to all the vessels of flagons. But I want to concentrate on verse 23. I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. Can you say amen? This is a prophecy given to a man that is a humble servant of God by the name of Eliakim. And he finds himself being promoted by God. Amen. And God is removing the treasurer, the man who did not do right and would not heed to God's warning. And God comes and removes him out of his position and takes this humble servant and gives him a prophecy to say to him, I am going to bless you and touch you in a powerful way. I say that tonight because I feel as though I have a message. Sometimes you have a sermon, but I feel like tonight this is a prophetic message for somebody. Somebody that has stood in the shadows. Somebody that has been faithful to God, yet not recognized much. Somebody who doesn't have all the talent or maybe the abilities that others maybe have, but God has looked down upon them, and God is about ready to show favor to them. Are you out there? There are some in our pews that I think sometimes that we neglect, amen, the talent and the ability that is in them. It becomes unrecognizable because they're not flamboyant or carry the charisma of others, and somehow they get pushed aside. But I'm here to tell you, like Eliakim, God is about ready to fasten you like a nail in a sure place. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm going to a sure place. Hallelujah. God told this humble servant who was not looking for this position. That's a key there. That's a key. Most folks that want to be used by God, amen, and kind of misuse that, never really get used by God. But those that understand the responsibility of the calling of God and understand the responsibility of walking before God in that anointing, amen, do not carelessly say yes. Can you say amen? So Eliakim was not looking for this position. Because if he had been coveting and trying to jealously looking at it, God had never blessed him. And so I'm going to tell somebody in this tabernacle tonight, if you want to be used by God, just be a servant. Just plain start being a servant, and God will bless you and anoint you and fasten you in a sure place. Can you say amen? Some folks said, I've been waiting on my ministry. I know some folks have been waiting for years. Wake up and understand, amen, bless God, in order to get to your ministry, you've got to start ministering now. God must see the qualities in you of a servant if he's going to bless you and promote you. Can you say amen? So Eliakim found himself in a humbled position, being lifted up among the brethren unexpectedly. God isn't going to come, amen, and tell you, amen, praise God, maybe ahead of time, that you're going to be whatever, because God don't want to ruin you. Can you say amen? There are brothers, there are sisters, there are young people in here tonight that we don't even know the potential or where they're going, but God sure does. And God isn't going to show them everything because God don't want to ruin them, really, or cause them to become proud or boastful, amen. He's just going to give them a little bit at a time just so they be faithful and keep them encouraged in the things of the Lord. Can you say amen? You may feel like I feel sometime, like a spare tire, just kind of like one born out of season. I can't sing hardly, and I can't sing real well as some do. I can't play nothing. I plunk on a piano a little bit, and I keep it down so low because I know that I'm a plunker. And I'll put everybody else out of beat if I plunk a little loud. And so I have no talents and abilities like some do. And I'm not putting down those that do. But I'm just saying, thank God there's room for folks like me. That, come on now. That God can bless and touch you unexpectedly. Can you say amen? I don't know where I'm heading on this. I don't know. I told the Lord, Lord, you better help me. Because there's somebody in here that maybe you feel like, when is my day coming? And is God ever going to bless or touch or move and work? I'm here to tell you, be encouraged. God sees your faithfulness. And God sees your labor. Amen. Praise God. And your labor is not in vain. When I first came to Mahaffey, my pastor, he said to me, I have an important job for you to do. Meet me up at my house. And when you're a Bible school student, to go to the pastor's house was a privilege. You didn't go there and hang out with the pastor. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't your friend or buddy. He's your pastor. He was the president of the school. So I went up there and knocked on the door. He welcomed me in. He sits me down. He talks to me and builds this thing up real big, real important job, whatever. I thought, man, I'll take the tent out. Boy, I'll do anything, pastor. I'll be your assistant pastor, whatever. I was a first-year student. I don't know why I got my head in the clouds so good. I think the reason I got my head in the clouds, people pat me on the back so much and started to say things that they shouldn't say. Amen, praise God. You know what I'm trying to say? And so I thought, that's whatever. And he says, no. It's more important than even that. And I said, what's more important than that? He said, you'll find all the tools that you need down in the closet. You're the janitor now of the church. Mm-hmm. And it was the old church. Many of these young people don't know what the old church was like. Commodes never flushed right. Half time the water didn't run right. This didn't happen right. I was anointed tidy bowl man. I was on my knees at church more than anybody, on my knees hugging the toilet trying to fix the thing when it overflowed or whatever. I'm telling you, amen. I'm saying that to say this. If you can't be faithful in the least, God ain't going to use you in the much. So I believe that Eliakim passed the test. Can you say amen? Somebody say pass the test. It ain't easy to pass the test when other people are passing you over and nobody recognizes you anymore. Come on now. It's nauseating today what we got to do to keep people in positions, how we got to compliment them and kind of stroke their feelings. Amen. Bless God, just work up everything. When nobody just wants to be a servant, they have to have the accolades and whatever. But I don't think Eliakim had that kind of spirit. I believe he was a servant. The Bible said he was a servant. The servant Eliakim. That's a title. That's a good title. Can you say amen? And God says, I've seen your work, your labor, and I'm about ready to promote you. I believe somebody in this house is about ready for God to anoint and touch and raise you to a higher level. Can you say amen? Amen. You've done this. You've done that. You're laboring the best you can. And you're saying, Lord, how long? Well, I'm here to tell you. God knows the hour of the time when he'll promote you. But if you'll be faithful, God will be faithful to you. God will bless, God will touch, God will help you. Can you shout hallelujah? Look at verse 21. He says, I'll clothe him with thy robe. In other words, I'll take the robe off of this man and put it on you. I'm here to tell you, God will make you the head and not the tail. God will raise you up. Promotion coming from the Lord. He said, I'll strengthen him with thy girdle, and I'll commit thy government into his I will commit the government into his hands. Praise God. I'll lay everything in your hands, Eliakim. It's
a humbling thing when you finally, amen, God lays something in your hand and you realize the responsibility of ministry and the responsibility that comes with the anointing. I don't think Elijah took this lightly. I believe he was humbled. I believe he was shocked, really. I believe he said, I don't think I can handle this. But yet God seen him and God said, I'm going to put it in your hands because you're a worthy servant of the Lord and it's your time, Elijah. Amen. Your time is such in the kingdom of God is now.
Hallelujah. Oh, God help me. Amen. Let me get where I want to go. But I think I need to cover this first. He was faithful. Let's look at verse 22. He said, he shall open and none shall shut. And he shall shut and none shall open. You don't understand that verse too well, do you? Revelations, he said the same thing. I am he that openeth the door, and no man shutteth. And I shut doors, and no man openeth. Can you say amen? Can I get a witness on that? God will open doors that no man can open for you. And God can shut doors that no man can shut. Can you say amen? There's a season of opening doors, and there's a season of shutting doors. Some are going through a season of a door opening, and some are going through a season here of a door shutting. But I'm here to tell you, if he opens a door, he'll equip you, he'll anoint you, he'll touch you, he'll help you to step through that door. And I'm here to tell somebody, if he's shutting a door, he's getting ready to open up another door that's greater than the door you just went through. Can you shout hallelujah? There's no reason for jealousy, and there's no reason for envy, and there's no reason for us to step over one another. God has a place for you in the kingdom of God. Can you shout hallelujah? And he'll open a door that ain't no devil, ain't no man can shut, because God has called you.
And laid his hand on you. Come on now. We got two sides of this. People say, well, I'm called, I don't need to be taught. You're wrong. Just because you're called don't mean you know it all. And matter of fact, the calling is just the initial touch of God. Come on now. There's a long journey from the calling to the fruition of some of the calling. Can you say amen? And there's doors that open and doors that shut. And there's seasons and times for everything under the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? You that are starting out, you're waiting for a door to open, and you're anxiously waiting. But I'm here to tell you, you need to let God prepare you now before the door opens. Because if the door opens and you're unprepared, then you've missed your season of preparation, and you've allowed your wilderness time and your time in the desert, amen, to go unfruitful. Can you say amen? In Moses' life, there was 120 years. There were three seasons of 40-year periods in the life of Moses. Only three seasons. The first 40 years from a baby miraculously spared by God and put in a bulrush and led down the Nile by the divine mighty hand of God. Can you say amen? Some of us like Moses, we wasn't born and put in a bulrush, but we were born again and miraculously rescued out of a life of sin and directed by God out of the horrible pit and the miry clay that God led us down the road. Can you say amen? And we know that we are what we are by the grace of God and by the mercy of the Lord, because God led us. So Moses' first 40 years is a miracle. His birth is a miracle. His deliverance and God preserving him was a miracle. And the years in the palace of the Pharaoh were not wasted years, but years where he would learn the way of how to approach the Pharaoh leader. And so, I don't know where I'm at in this, because my notes ain't going this way. Well, I don't like where I'm at right now. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you better like it or you'll never get out of it. was hugging toilets and cleaning toilets. And I said, did Jimmy Swagger start this way or Robert start this way? I got to complain. And God said, if you don't get a right spirit, Amy, you're going to be hugging toilets the rest of your life. This will be your ministry. And I got a real revelation. I ain't the sharpest stack, but I got a real revelation in a hurry, Brother Hawk. You know, I don't want to stay here. Huh? But God said, I'll keep you here till you get a right spirit, till you learn. See, the reason why some people have never been able to go to the next level is because they've never learned at the level they're at now. I think sometimes the church does the same thing that the public school does. We just dumb everybody down and pass them on the learning curve. Woo! But God don't pass you on the learning curve. If you don't learn it the first time, God said we're going through it again, and I'm long suffering, and I'll just stay here and let you just stay in the wilderness and in the desert. Can you say amen? So the Pharaoh's palace was a season. Somebody shout, I'm going through a season. You may not like the season you're going through, but tough. What part of the Greek and Hebrew don't you understand about the definition tough? Tough. Joseph didn't like the season of being sold as a slave. He did not like the season of the pit and being led away and going into Egypt as a slave. He didn't like the season of the prison. But God used all of that to give him the season as the Pharaoh's right-hand man to not only deliver Joseph, but his father, his brothers, and Israel, and even all the heathen, pagan worshipers all in Egypt. The plan is far bigger than you. The plan is far bigger than you. You get all bent out of shape. My pride, my flesh, my... God says, tough. I don't understand. God said, that's all right. I do. And I'm the one leading this. The day you think you understand, then you must be leading it. I'm leading it. I'm infinite. I'm wisdom. I'm all wise and all knowing. You're just my servant. You're just to be obedient. Can you say amen? Somebody shout, I'm in a season. Come on now. I'm in the palace of the Pharaoh and I'm being taught. I'm in a season of education where God's teaching me things and preparing me for another time. Can you say amen? Then Moses finally found out who he was. Finally got a revelation. His mama been teaching him he was a Hebrew. God give him his mama to teach him and tell him you're a Hebrew. But Egypt was in him, and finally got a revelation at the age of 40. I'm a Hebrew and I'm a deliverer. But he took it in his own hands and did it in his own way. And guess what? That door shut and God opened another door to a desert. You better hear me tonight, saint of God. You better hear me. You better learn what you better learn so that you don't wind up out there in the desert. Some of you have been in the desert so long you're suntanned. Woo! Well, if I could just get over my rebelliousness. Well, how long have you been rebellious? Huh? Well, it's just the way I am. I'm going to tell you right now that you're not supposed to be the way you are. You're supposed to be Christ-like. You're supposed to die. That old you's supposed to die. Whenever you say, that's just the way I am, then what you're saying is, the old man's still living, and the process is moving on, and you're still in the desert. Can you say amen? I've had people say, well, you know what, that's just the way I am. I just speak what's on my mind. That's just the way I am. And I hear a bell ringing and saying, desert time for them. Don't trust them with anything. Can't put them in any position where there's babes in the Lord. Can't put them behind the pulpit, because they may just rattle off something that you got to clean up the mess afterward. So there's a bell go up, Brother Hawk, and say, well, I guess you're going to wind up in the desert. You ready for a season? Got your sunscreen? Got your suntan? Got your lawn chair? He's going to be a while for you, brother. He's going to be a while. And guess what? A day to the Lord is 1,000 years. He got time. Yeah, but he needs me, God. Yeah, you be sitting out there in a lawn chair, praise God, with no lemonade, and see how much God needs you. If we could put it this way, as the children will understand, God gives you a time out, a chill out. Oh, we put you over here till you learn something, Moses. Make you a shepherd. And 40 years go on by. You listen to what I'm saying. And then he sees a burning bush and he's ready. Everybody shout, I'm ready. The season's over. If you say, I think I'm ready, you may not be ready. But when God knows you're ready, then the bush starts to burn. When God knows you're ready, he lights a fire that cannot be consumed. When God knows you're ready, then he revisits you with the same vision and the same burden and revives that and restores what the locust and the cankerworm seemed to eat up. Only God can take 40 years in a desert and in a matter of a split second speak through a fiery burning bush and revisit a man and give him another chance. Can you say amen and open the door? Say, now you can be a deliverer. Because notice the attitude Moses has now. I can't speak. The desert has taken all the eloquence of Egypt out of me. I stutter. I stammer. I can't do this. An old preacher told me one time, young preacher got called to the pulpit to preach. Fellowship meeting, a whole lot of folks there. Come up here strutting and stuff. Got up here and bumbled and stumbled. Come down with his head hanging down. The old preacher tapped him on the shoulder and said, if you'd have gone up like you're coming down, you'd have done better. Come on now. But I'm afraid it takes hard knocks to learn that sometimes. Does it not? I'd like to take the zeal of the youth and put it in the head of the old. Or put the head of the old into the head of the young. Put it that way. Take the strength of the young and put it in the body of the old. Come on now. But isn't it amazing in life that you got to get old to learn something and then you've run out of strength? Praise God. And so you're telling the younger generation, don't make the same mistakes I made. I was telling our preachers at the preacher's meeting, and I was talking to the evangelists and those that have been in the ministry for a long time, and I really respect these men. And I said to them, they're not even in our organization, but I said to them, I have confidence in you. Teach our young men. Teach our young men. And export, amen, Brother Paretic, and other ones, we say to them, when we send them your way, teach them, invest in them. Come on now. It's a body ministry. We may not be able to help somebody, but somebody else might be able to help him along the journey. It ain't the idea of who gets credit or the idea of who done it, just the idea to get him out of the season and out of the desert and get him to answer the call of God. Can you shout hallelujah?
So I told them old evangelists, you know how the rope scar help these young evangelists. Don't let them make the big mistake. You know, those that have been on the field for a long time, like you, brother, may make it. I'd say teach these young ones, tell them the do's, the don'ts, and pulpit etiquette and right things. We teach them the right things. You go to be an evangelist, someone hands you the church tithe, you give it back and say, it belongs in the church here. We don't want you being a thief. Huh? You're counseling young women. We don't want you counseling young women. Come on. And darken areas. Counseling young women that are real young. Notice the young ones gravitate around the young. It's not the old, it seems like, praise God. Huh? Come on now. But we need etiquette. Someone needs to teach ethics and integrity. Come on now. Hallelujah. Where am I at on this? The burning bush. He becomes this way. And he speaks to him, Moses, Moses. And he says, you're standing on holy ground. Take your shoes off. Can you say amen? Somebody in here is about ready to take your shoes off. you're about ready to step into a door of ministry and step into a door of a fresh anointing and a deeper level in this thing. You're about ready to grow up and mature in this thing. Yes, you've done some things in the way you did it, and that's all right, because young make mistakes. I make plenty when I was young and still make them now. But I tell them in the prison, I tell those men, you can be a young fool, and that's one thing. You can change. But when you're old and you're a fool, you're hopeless then. You're young and you're pliable. You may make mistakes, but God will always revisit you. Amen. Can you say amen? The call of God is without repentance. God came back 40 years later to revisit and touch his servant. And after 40 years, he's ready now. Hallelujah. Speaking out, Moses. Yes, Lord. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Now you're ready to be a deliverer. Can you shout hallelujah?
I don't know where I'm heading on this. And so Eliakim is graduating. He's getting promoted. Notice the prophecy. I'll open a door that none shall shut, and I'll shut that none shall open. That is a promise. That's a heavy promise.
Then he goes on to say, I will. Everybody say, I will. This is so personal and this is so serious that God says, I ain't delegating this out to an angel. I'm doing myself. I've come to you in a prophecy through the prophet Isaiah. And I'm telling you, I will personally fasten you. I will personally come and anchor you. I will personally come and cause you to become stable and grounded and fastened. Oh, you're not hearing me tonight? But I'm going to head down this way and preach it anyhow. God said, I will. I will fasten him. I will fasten him. The word fasten means to set in, to put in there, to bolt in, to cement in. God said, I'm going to put you and set you and permanently cement you in.
We need more of God's people being fastened, anchored in an unstable world right now. Ministry's unstable, bouncing around. Amen. Four churches. God told me to come here. 6 months later, God told me over here. God told me over here. Prophecy given. People messing up people's lives because they're not fastened. People prophesying stuff and they're not fastened. I know a lady, right? I know things. They messed up marriages, messed up homes. These prophets, so-called laying hands. I believe in prophecy. But the lay hands, Brother Frazier, thus saith the Lord, you're to marry this one or do this, or do that. You're to go into a missionary work or whatever. And they said to me personally, I felt there was nothing in my heart before that prophecy, and I said, you missed it. God would speak and put it in your heart and fasten you first.
God does not use unstable, double-minded people for the serious business of the kingdom of God. So the first thing God says to Eliakim, I'll fasten you, I'll put you down and bolt you. Anybody need bolted here? I do. I need anchored. In an unconfused world, messed up, amen, confused world that's unstable and everything rocking all around me, amen, in the world, but now even in the church, I need fastened. Can you say amen? And God said, I will. No preacher, no deacon, no elder, I will. It'll be work of the Spirit of God. I will. Somebody shout, I will. How many know that when God says he will, God will. When God says it, he'll do it. Can you say amen? And God give this man of God a promise. I'm going to fasten you down. I'm going to fasten you down like a nail. I'm going to put you in the wall and I'm going to fasten you down, praise God, to where you're unmovable, to where you're faithful, to where you'll have the one to. You'll be there because I'm going to put you there and fasten you there.
Come on now. Some of you are wondering, should I be here? Should I not be here? I'm going to tell you right now. God said, I'll fasten you. When he bolts you down, he don't pull up 6 months later and unbolt.
The Bible said he sets in the body as it pleaseth him. Not how it pleases you. Well, I don't like our pastor. Tough. God didn't ask you your opinion. God didn't ask you on whether he was going to send the man of God or not and set in the pastor that he set in. But he set you in too, Brother and Sister Pickens, and you've been there a long time at Northampton, have you not? He fastened you there. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're in a sure place. And Pastor Lamar can count on you. I know that because you're in a sure place. You know, some people sit in the same spot. Church, and I know people that have preached against that, but I'll tell you what, as a pastor, in a way, I kind of like it because I can look around real quick and take a roll call in a hurry. Praise God! And there's some places, Brother Hawk, that's fastened down. I'm telling you what, I don't gotta worry. I don't gotta worry if they're gonna be there or if they're not gonna be there. I don't gotta call them up and beg them and plead with them and say, "Where was you at?" I don't get up and say, "Well, you know what, there ain't a whole lot here." I'm gonna tell you who's there, everybody that's bolted down. The rest that aren't bolted down, I really don't have them yet. They haven't made up their mind. They haven't got settled in. They haven't got fastened down. They're double-minded and unwavering in all of their ways. But I want to be like a tree planted by the waters. Can you say amen? Lord, fasten me down. Let me bear fruit in due season. Let my leaf not wither. My God, and what I set my hand to do, prosper it. You talk about prosperity. You got to get fastened down before God will prosper you. Somebody shout, "Fasten me down." Some of God's people have got so messed up they don't know what the will of God is. Because they bounced around too much. And now they don't know where they belong. But God said to this man, "I will fasten you down." I believe if God had his way and he fastened people where they ought to be, and they'd stay where they ought to be, we wouldn't have the mess we have. Come on now. Preachers, people bouncing from one church to the other. Amen. One lady bounced from one church to the other, bounced another church. Preacher friend of mine called me and said, "I've got this person here in the church." I said, "They were with me. But before they were with me, they were with Brother so-and-so. And before they were with him, they were with so-and-so. And God bless you. I hope you can keep them. And you're a better man than I am, Gunga Din, if you can. Amen. But I got a feeling they'll leave you just the same way they left me. And the same way they left the other brother. And the same way they left the other brother. And 6 months later, he ain't shouting no more. Because they not only left him, they took other people with them. Oh, you don't hear me? I think we need to get a toolbox out and a ratchet set and have a fastening service. Say, "I'd fasten you down, but you're a few bolts short." Come on now. I'm going to ratchet you down. I can't ratchet anybody down. I don't call anybody to my church. I don't go out and proselytize and try to subdivide and go in and like some preachers do. They don't got no ethic at all. They're after your piano player. They're after your organ player. They just visited in the revival and the rascal's already after them, trying to pull them out. My son can play the piano and they've stole him 3 times. Amen. And he ain't with me because of pie in the sky. We'll give you a studio. We'll do this. We'll do that. They never done anything. His daddy's just plain vanilla. They ain't much flavors with me. But I'll tell you what, how you get fastened down and God will bless you. You get fastened down and you'll be in the will of God and you'll be in a sure place. Can you say amen? He said, "I'll fasten him down like a nail in a sure place." Can you shout hallelujah? How many like to be in a sure place tonight? How many like to be in the hollow of God's hand, in the will of God, in a sure place? He said, "I'll put you and I'll fasten you and I'll put you in a sure place." Can you say amen? Let me show you the blessing of being faithful. The blessing of being fastened. He said, "I'll put you like a nail fastened." It wasn't like a nail we have to nail in. It come under where there was like a peg and they cemented it kind of in behind the wall. It was unmovable. They hung pots and hung cups on them, and amen, and they were unmovable. Man, they stayed. They had to stick to it. And he says, I will. Everybody shout, I will. You don't have the ability to stay faithful in yourself. You don't got the ability to stick to it in yourself. God said, I'll put the I will in you. I'll give you the want to. I'll put the yes in you. Can you say amen? Young preacher's candidating for a church, and he asked me in a revival I was preaching in Ohio. He said, how do you know? I said, number one, I never candidated for a church because it's like a honeymoon. It's like a date. Everybody's lying. Preacher preaches his best. People act like their best. I'm not running for a politician. I don't shake every hand and kiss every baby. I don't have to be Republican, Democrat. God sets me where he sets me. He fastens where he fastens me. And I don't have to apologize to nobody. I'm like a fungus. I'll grow on you. Whoa! Had a board member say, well, one of us has got to leave. I said, well, I'm not. Because I'm called here. He walked out. I guess he wasn't called. But I was called, Brother Kyle. I was fastened. Everywhere I've gone because God set me there. I didn't go there because I wanted to. I didn't go there because I thought I ought to go there. Amen. God fastened me there. And the only thing that kept me was to know that God fastened me there. A lot of good things came up. Other doors came up. Other opportunities came up. And people shook their head and said, you look foolish. Amen. You could be pastoring here or there. I said to them, I must answer the call of God. Someday I'll stand before God and give an answer. And I'm glad God fastened me and give me the one, two, Brother Mimikin, and put a yes down in me. Can you say amen? Through the struggles of life, I can search him and pray, and he'll put a yes there. That yes is branded in me. I can't get it out of me. You know what I'm talking about? That's the difference between some just getting in the ministry and others being called and fastened. That's the difference between some getting elected to the board and others being set on the board. Fastened. You don't want anybody that's not fastened on the board, Brother Frazier. Yeah. They'll mess up things. You don't want a yes person either, a person that just complies and don't have an opinion. Our preacher said, how do I set a board up? I said, you set it up by God giving you the right people, and there'll be opposites. On your financial committee, I said, you'll have somebody that'll spend money like it's water. And you'll have someone else that's so tight, praise God, that Abraham Lincoln's still in slavery. You know what I'm saying? No offense, Jerry. Amen. And then you'll have the middle. If you have everybody that's a yes person and spends money, you're going to be in debt in 6 months. If you got everybody that's tight, you can't ever get nothing done. If you got everybody that's in the middle and just kind of like they're them chameleons, they just change color with whatever's going along, then you got a wishy-washy board. Amen. And you could probably run them over and control them, but it ain't doing you no good. Can you say amen? Oh, come on now. Amen. I'm talking about being fastened. God said, I will. God said, I will. I'll fasten you. Somebody in here needs to know that God puts you where he puts you, and he fastened you where he fastened you, and he put a will in you, and a desire, and a yes in you. Can you shout amen? I told that young preacher, you pray through, and if God says yes, go. If God says no, run. And I said, in order to be a pastor today, you got to be called. And I said, and if you want to be a pastor and you ain't called, then I think you're insane. You need to get a test because insanity is set in. Huh? God said, I will fasten him like a nail in a sure place. How many like to be in that sure place tonight? Come on now. Sure place. I looked up the word sure. I got to move on. I'm preaching too long. Amen. Sure means beyond doubt. A place beyond doubt. A place beyond dispute. A place that's steady. A place that's trustworthy. A place that is reliable. A place that is established without doubt. Free from danger. danger and harm. How many like to be in a sure place? Can you say amen? A place where there's no doubt. A place where you know without a doubt that you know, that you know, that you know that God has laid his hand on you and God has blessed you, and the devil can't talk you out of the blessings of God. Can you say amen? Well, the devil can't talk you out of baptism, or like Brother Hawk said, can't talk you out of Pentecost and put you somewhere else where you don't belong. Let me tell you something. God has a plan, and he'll fasten you down and anchor you in that plan and put you in a sure place.
Moses said, I want to see your glory. Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. Haman, verse 21 and 22. I want to see your glory, Lord. And the Lord said, I'll put you in the cliff of the rock. Can you say amen? God had a cliff in that rock for the man of God. Had a place carved out by the hand of God. Hundreds of years before, God knew that the servant Moses would come to that place where he would desire and hunger and thirst and say, I want to behold your glory. Lord, I want to be in your presence and behold your glory. And the Lord said, that's good, Moses. I've got a place in the rock that's sure, and I'm going to hide you there. Can you say that? There's a sure place in the rock of ages. God, I hide you there. Can you say amen? He'd hide you there. I hear Psalms 91 saying, and surely he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a sure place in God. Can you say amen? There's a sure place in God. Hallelujah. There's men in the Bible that found themselves in adversity and found themselves in distress, but was in a sure place. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hezekiah was in a sure place. And 1 Chronicles chapter 32, when they sieged the city and he couldn't get out, and the Assyrian army was putting a siege on it and going to starve him to death. But Hezekiah was in a sure place. Can you say amen? The will of God may not be easy. The will of God may be uncomfortable. The will of God may have adversity. But I'm here to tell you, if you're in where God puts you and God fastens you, you're in a sure place tonight.
Can you shout him? You can either hold on. Somebody say, help me, Lord. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3 were in a sure place. Fiery furnace turned it 7 times hotter. Is it hot on you now? Is there adversity? That don't mean you're not in the will of God. It probably means you are in the will of God. Can you say amen? They were in a sure place. And when they got put in that fire, there was a fourth man there to tell them, you're in a sure place. Can you shout hallelujah? Daniel was in a sure place in the lion's den. Hallelujah. I'm in a sure place. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Missionary years ago in Africa, the headhunters were coming for him. Him and his wife sent all the rest of the staff out. Stayed in the compound themselves that night. Hearing the drums beating, knowing that their life was near the end. They prayed, fell asleep in the peace of God. Woke up in the morning, no drums, no African tribe. 2 years later, when the headhunter chief got saved and the whole headhunting bunch got saved, thank God. I wish headhunters would get saved in the church around here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they got pagan headhunters in Africa, but we got headhunters in our Pentecostal church. They quit headhunting. Remember Brother Billy Taylor saying in the Philippines, he said he got a bunch of cannibal village saved. And he said, you know why I knew they were saved? It's because when we sat down to eat a meal, the chief said, oh no, that's not our brother. That's really goat. We quit eating one another. Brother Taylor said, thank God. Hallelujah. Whoa! That's true conversion, is it not? I'd be looking behind my back if I had a church full of cannibals. Because they might backslide, Brother Hawk. And I've had a few of them. I thought they backslid because they're biting on my ankles like a chihuahua. Amen. And chewing on my elbow. Amen. Someone's stroking my hair. Amen. Trying to even make change my mind or something. Lining me up. Come on now. But he said, the headhunter said, oh no, you were there. You were there, but there were other people there. I said, no way. Me and my wife was the only one there. We sent everybody home. No, he said, when we got there, there was an army of tall white men with flaming fire swords standing around that compound, and they said to us, you will not come near the man of God nor touch him. And I follow the scripture, no harm shall come to you. He shall give his angel charge over you. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right side, but it shall not come nigh your dwelling. You're in a sure place. I said, you're in the sure, you're in the arms of the Lord. The Lord will take care of his own. You're in a sure place. Tonight, if you're in a storm, you're in a sure place. No matter what you're going through, you're in a sure place. Can you say amen? I've told this story, but I'll close with it. Museum with the art paintings. Experts looking at them. You know them educated people that seem like us common people. They think we don't know nothing. They're looking at these paintings. Look at this one. It's a storm. What do you see? One says, I see dark clouds. Fear. You know how they talk. Trauma. Had all their glasses down their nose, you know. Black gentleman who'd been a janitor for years there. Leaning on a mop, listening to these educated idiots. Yeah. Tolerating them. Huh. I got to tolerate them all the time, the politically correct mushmelon heads, liberals. In the prison. Well, maybe in the church even. I go preachers places and preachers say to me, you can't preach that no more here. You can't preach that. You can't have a ministry and preach like that. You're too bold. You're too this. You're too that. I said, I've been doing it for 30-something years. I ain't changing now. And you're too young. You're not even dry behind the ears and you're trying to tell me. Huh? Just come out of school. Thinking you're a hot shot. You're a hot shot, all right. Wait till they shoot at you. An assistant pastor, he said to me one time, I can handle my pastor's job. I'm just waiting for him to keel over and die. I guess he figured I wouldn't tell the pastor, you know. I said, you know what, pastor? I said, your assistant's like a vulture. He said, what do you mean? I said, he's flying over your old carcass. Finally, that preacher did pass on, and that assistant pastor took over. 3 months later, he called me on the phone and said, my God, I can't handle this. It's too hot. I thought I could be a pastor, but I'm telling you, there's a whole lot more to this than I thought. Can you say amen? So they're analyzing the picture. Finally, the man said, let's talk to this man over here who's a common man. The janitor said, I'm glad you asked me. That's my favorite picture. Said, I see the storm clouds dark and lightning flashing. And I see the wind blowing and the waves beating and dashing on the rocks. But sir, you don't see something that I saw. Amen. Years ago, I was a sinner. And I saw something in that picture that brought me to Christ in a low time in my life. Said, you see everything you see. Yes, but you missed something. Said, look on that rock that's being beat by those waves. And don't you see that bird just standing on that rock? I said, that bird is saying, whip all you want to waves. Come on, wind, beat me. But I'm standing on a foundation that's solid. Oh, you don't hear me tonight. This world's going down and the church is falling apart. But I'm here to tell you, like Paul said, stay on the ship and you'll be saved. I don't know how, but I know you will, and you're in a sure place tonight. Can you shout hallelujah? Woo! I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm in a sure place tonight. I will fasten you like a nail in a sure place. In a sure place. Young preacher, pioneer in the work. He come up. He asked me to come up and pray for the work. I said, what do you think, pastor? I said, I'm going to tell you what. God either called you here or you're crazy. Out in the wilderness. up in Elk County, there's more elk up there than people. I'm not being crude to anybody that's from Elk County, but you know it's true. So they go up to see the elk. But he calls me and says to me, "It's hard. Our family was struggling. But I know that I'm called." Brother Fraser, every time I hang the phone up, I start to cry. And I say to my wife, "Thank God for preachers like that. They're still here and they're still real. And God can call them and place them in a sure place. And they sacrifice and they give up. Every one of our preachers in the ministry we're in sacrifice. I look up to every one of those men with high respect because they're not getting paid a big time dollar. They're not got a retirement plan. Amen. Our little organization can't even give them a pension. Amen. Bless God. We can't even hardly help. Some of them digging out their own. Amen. Doing their own work. And every time I come in the presence of them, I feel like I'm in the presence of men of high esteem. Can you say amen? Men that have answered the call. Men that have said to God, "You called me. No man. You fastened me. You set me like a nail in a sure place. And I shall not be moved. I will stay in this place and stand and be a light." Come on now. You've gone through a season of challenge to see who's with you, who's not. Who's fastened, who's not. But I'm here to tell the ministry here, he's fastened you like a nail in a sure place. Brother Fraser, he's fastened this place like a nail in a sure place. Come on now. And the rewards of the past are there, but there's great rewards now and in the future. Can you say amen? I was in an old campground, that not a campground anymore, not a Pentecostal campground, but now a campground where they fish and drink and carouse and do things. We had tent meetings in that camp meeting, that tent, that camp for a little while. And I've had dreams of making it a Pentecostal camp meeting. Me and Brother Holder, one time we're walking down the road in the back roads of that campground. And suddenly, all of a sudden, I said to him, "This is holy ground. The saints of God have been here." And he said, "How do you know?" I said, "I feel the witness of them can come and camp around me." And suddenly, in the spirit, I heard shouting in the distance. I began to follow the shouting, and I thought, "I'm losing my mind. I better not tell nobody this experience." And I come to the water hole, and I stood there, and Brother Hawk, as sure as I'm standing here, I heard people shouting, and hallelujah, praise God. I did not know the history, but I asked the man, "Did they ever have camp meeting here?" He said, "Oh yeah, they baptized here." I said, "I heard them by the pond. I heard them." He said, "You're crazy." I said, "I'm crazy or not, I heard them. I heard the shouts of old." I said, "I knew I was standing on holy ground." I knelt down by that pond and said to God, "What you do is eternal. What you do has a lasting testimony and witness. They're gone and in heaven, and I'm hearing their shout. And this ground is still holy because they stepped on it." What you do is eternal. It's forever. Every sermon you preach is forever. Every soul that's saved is forever. Every song. We're not the Moose Club, the Elks Club, or some kind of club. We're the church of the living God. We've got a heavenly mandate and an agenda. What we do is for eternity. We're in a sure place. God has fastened us down. Oh, to God to have servants of God fastened down. To have saints of God fastened down like a nail in a sure place. Come on now. When I come back from the Dominican Republic sick, my God, I needed the saints of God. I knew who was with me, who wasn't. And I thank God for every member that's in a sure place fastened with me. We don't advertise. Come, see a great big show. I don't want anybody that comes through the doors and says, what do you have for us? They ain't talking my talk. When they come in and say, God sent me here to be a blessing, they're talking my talk. I'm a disciple. I'm a servant. God has sent me here. When they come saying, well, do you have a full staff nursery? Do you? The last church you went to, they had numbers telling the mothers, you're 5, 6, 10, whatever. The last church we had a praise and worship group, and they wiggled like Bill Crosby's Amen Jello. And we had some, and I know right then, I ain't going to keep them. They may stay one time. They may stay two. But I sweat too much, spit too much, snore too much. They're out the door. The other day I was feeling sorry for myself. A little bit. I don't know if you do sometimes. But I said to the Lord, I don't think I'm doing a whole lot. The Lord said, look around. I looked at that small little congregation. Nurse Jerry Taggett, she's a Roman Catholic. God delivered her out of Catholicism, saved her soul, filled her with the Holy Ghost. There's Sister Mick, who's a Jehovah Witness, grew up Jehovah Witness, and now is a Pentecostal, amen, child of God, a Christian. Hallelujah. Looked over and seen some other ones. Amen. The world will call them the scum of the world almost. Some of them that are with me. Amen. But that's all right. God fastened them and put them. Can you say amen? Let God fasten you. Stand to your feet if you will. Someone come to the instrument tonight. I'm sorry. I preached too long here. But amen. Hey, but I headed in a direction I didn't even plan on going. I didn't even get to my notes very much. Amen. Bless God. But I feel like tonight God's called people and dealing. Amen. I feel like he's going to touch somebody and the bush is going to burn and God's going to speak. Amen. What we need is people that are truly called. People that are truly have their minds made up and they've had an experience with God around the altar. We need those that are filled with the Holy Ghost and don't just speak in tongues but are full of the Holy Ghost and submissive to the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? We need those that have had an experience touched by God. Know that they know that they know that they've been called and set and fastened like a nail in a sure place. Come on now. Your pastor needs you. God needs you. Let God fasten you in a sure place tonight. Listen tonight. I want every young person, I want every young adult, every teenager to step out of where you're at, and every child even. Come on. Come up here. God's going to fasten you. Some of you are in a different season than others. I understand that. Cal, you're almost to the place I don't even call you young no more. And I don't even know why you're up here. How old are you? Huh? 25? How old are you? 25? I was 21, Pastor, and my wife was 19. For yea, the Lord would say, I've seen your faithfulness. And the Lord would say, I've seen the enemy open doors and say this and that, but you said to me, I will go where you send me. And I fastened you. It's not been convenient. It's been a hard place at times. But yet I fastened both of you in a sure place tonight. I placed you. I set you where I've set you. And you're not leaders of the future. You're leaders now. And the anointing is not for the future. But there is an anointing now, saith the Lord. Stretch your hand forth to them right now. Where's Mom? Come quickly. Mom, where you at? Come quickly, Mom. Praise God. Well, yeah, come on, Mom. Move fast. Move fast, please. Move fast. Lay your hands on her. Everybody stretch your hand forth to this young couple. Yeah, I've seen the condition. Yeah, I have heard of your cry. And I've seen your tears, saith the Lord. And I have fastened you in a sure place. I have placed you like a nail in a sure place. And I hear the cry from your heart and I touch you even this night, for you are in my hand, saith the Lord, and in the center of my wheel. Even though affliction has come, and even though you say, Lord, why? Know that you are in a sure place, and I've laid my hand, saith the Lord, upon thee, and kept thee, and put the angels around thee, and by the grace of the Lord, you stand even here tonight, because I placed you in a sure place. I feel the power of God all over you. My God, a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God. Take my brother in the next season. Take him, Lord. Open that door that no man can shut. Raise him to another level. My God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, somebody pray with me that God will touch this young couple and stir them and minister to them. Be it up our son. Oh, Gabi Abolanama. Si Abolanama. The kids' camp, we got four leaders. Right now we have four. Every one of them is valuable to me in kids' camp. As the overseer, I pleaded with them to keep the presence and the power of God. I pleaded with them, and I said I needed them now. And I feel like doing the same thing here, talking to the young leaders here and saying, you're not leaders of the future, you're leaders now. Pastor Eastman needs you now. Pastor Frazier needs you now. Pastor David Eastman needs you now. Pastor Ron Spencer needs you now. There's others that need you now. Come on now. Youth leader directors need you now. You step up out of kids camp, you ought to go to youth camp and help. You ought not say, well, I'm now in youth camp. No, be a servant. Help. Come on now. Do whatever you can do. And I'm here to tell you, praise God, don't look to the future, because you'll let the door shut on you. The door is open now. We need you now. We need you now. We need you now. We need you now. I remember when you were just a little thing. Hey, you know what I'm saying? When I mean little, you know what I'm saying? And look at you now. Young lady serving God in the house of the Lord. Amen. Working for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You help out in camps, do you? Do you help out in camps any? Well, I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm sorry. Amen. Praise God. But you help here. I see you here, there, and everywhere. Praise God. This young man told me he wants to preach a little bit in the Dominican Republic. Got stirred. Is that stirring still there a little bit? Is it there? Is it there? Is God going to be able to count on you? Put you like a nail in a sure place? Come on now. Praise God. He's got a friend here tonight. I'm glad he's here tonight. Aren't you? He's right up here right along with him in a sure place tonight. Hallelujah. You know what I feel like we ought to do tonight? How about all the preachers coming and helping me lay hands on these young leaders and ask God to fasten them down in a sure place? How about we ask God to pour oil over them like he poured the oil over David as Samuel, the great prophet, took the horn of oil and poured it over the servant. And David looked at him as 16 year old and said, my God. But God said, I look on the inward, not the outward. And this is the man after my own heart. And Samuel said, he's going to carry on. Samuel didn't have many more days left. Amen. But in Samuel's place, there was another prophet that would stand up later and tell David, thou art the man by the name of Nathan. Brother Hawk, I'm here to tell you, be encouraged, brother. We'll always be a servant and a messenger. God will always send us those that'll put them down and fasten them. Can you say amen? Oh, come on, preacher. Come on, come through here. Lay your hands on these young people. Let's ask God to greatly anoint them. Let's ask God to fasten them and touch them and move in their life. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Spirit, you need the Spirit of God. If you're not saved, you need saved. I don't know what your need is, but begin to raise your hand to the Lord and begin to praise the Lord. Begin to cry out to the Lord. Come on, young person. Cry out to God. Say to God, put me in a sure place. Fasten me. Come on. If you're out there and you're a little older, yet the call of God's on your life, step out of here and get up here among these young people right now. You might have missed it earlier, but you ain't going to miss it now. Come on, step out. You may have missed it earlier, but you ain't going to miss it now. Step up here and say, Lord, here I am again. God is visiting me. I may be a little older than I was, but I'm cold. Come on, step up. Get on up here. Come on, Brother Jerry. Come on, Brother Jerry. Get up to the front here. Let these men of God lay hands on you. Let these men of God lay hands on you. God will restore what the locust took away. God will give you back the years. God will anoint and help you. Come on now. Come on now. Oh, God will help you. Come on now. God will help you. I don't know how I can get it done. I don't know how to be called. I don't know what to do. Well, you're in the right place. Humble yourself and say to God, I can't do it on my own. I need you to touch me. I need you to stir me. I need you to anoint me. Come on, cry out to God and say to the Lord, yes, Lord. Here I am. Fasten me. Come on, cry out to the Lord. Moses was 80 when God revisited him again. He was 120 when it was all said and done. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God calls you. No matter what season of life you're in, God will revisit you and God will lay his hand on you and God will call you again. Let him fasten you like a nail in a sure place. Let him fill you with the spirit and the power of Almighty God. In the name of the Lord. Ah, God, I want to be fastened, Lord, like a nail in a sure place. Lord, you can count on me, Lord. You can count on me, Lord. Come on, tell God you can count on me, Lord. If you'll help me, if you'll fasten me, if you'll touch me, if you'll anoint me, Lord, I can't do it on my own. I need your help. I need your help. Come on, tell him I need your help. I need your help. I can't do it on my own. I need your help. I need the help of the Lord. I need the Spirit of God. Come on, come on. I need the Spirit of God to fasten me like a nail in a sure place. I need the Spirit of God to give me the yes and the one to. Touch me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I struggle at times, but I want to do your will. I want to do your will, Lord. Here I am, Lord. God, fasten me. Touch, Lord. Touch, Lord. Touch, Lord, tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the Spirit of God minister to you tonight in the name of the Lord. Fasten me like a nail. Put me in a sure place, Lord. Lord, help me. Help me to do your will. Help me to say yes. I'm struggling, Lord, to say yes. But here I am. I'll say yes, Lord, to your will. To your way.